Welcome to day 17. I think you're going to find today's audio especially helpful because it connects with what we spoke about earlier in the course in regard to commitment. And this has to do with how you relate to limits. Limits can be such a tricky subject because the way that limits are honored in our culture is often done in a way that's facilitated with a lot of tension. It often comes hand in hand with the feeling of punishment or with a punishment. So it makes so much sense that our relationship with limits may have some real pain and some anxiety and some aversion in it. There may be a part of you that resists limits, that doesn't like them, that finds them difficult. There may be a part of you that rebels against limits. And there may be a part of you that wishes you didn't have to have limits, that you could just go with the flow and be more intuitive. So what I think you'll receive from today's audio is an understanding of, well, why do I feel the way I do about limits? And hopefully a new way of reframing limits so that you can embrace limits with sugar in your life and in other areas and in other places where there's a really sticky habit. And so then I'm going to invite you to also practice with this today and throughout the course so that you can really know and feel and experience it for yourself of, what does a limit really feel like? So what do I mean by limit? If you think of a river, and this is the metaphor that I use over and over in my classes because it's so helpful, a river has the flow of water and it also has a riverbank. And that riverbank contains and holds that river. So the riverbank is what allows the water and the river to flow. Now, without a riverbank, what you have is a flood. The water floods the banks of the river. It just seeps over and out, and there's no container or containment. And if you have too much of a riverbank, though, then you have a dam where water can't flow at all. So anytime that you set a limit, what you're doing is you're putting a riverbank around the river of your life. When you set a limit around sugar or around anything that's causing you pain, well, there may be a part of you that resists that because when we set a limit, we're putting a limit, a constriction to that flow. So we're saying no to something. And what I'm going to invite you to open to is, can you actually allow yourself to sink back into that river and that riverbank, to allow it to hold you and to contain you, rather than seeing it as a source of punishment or a source of pain or as a form of harsh discipline, but rather it's there to help and support you? What if a limit is actually a profound form of self-care? What if limits are a form of love and caring? Now, most of us don't see limits as a form of love or caring, and we might actually be even afraid of them. And when we're afraid of something, we tend to shy away from it. So then when we're shying away from a limit, we don't allow that limit to fully support us. So in the same way that we might be sitting in a chair and might not be fully sinking into it and allow that chair to hold us, we still might be holding some part of our body up. There might be a way that we're still holding ourselves up rather than kind of giving ourselves over to that limit and allowing that limit to fully do its job and allow it to help and support us. I remember when my children were little, we had this big, big German Shepherd dog. She was over 100 pounds. She was beautiful, this black German Shepherd. Her name was Zelda. And Zelda had a very, very strong protective stance. We had gotten her from the pound. I don't know her life before we had her, but she was kind of had a watchdog-like presence. And she was a great dog to have in the backyard. You know, when I had small children running around, and it was like having another set of eyes, like having another mom in the backyard with my kids. But Zelda's protective instincts also meant that if the gate were open and if the mailman was walking by, for example, she might go up behind him and nip him in the back of the leg. Not so great. And so while we truly love this dog, her nipping it was a source of a lot of anxiety and stress. Because I had small children in this fenced backyard, there was always this panic when the mailman would come or when someone come to the front door of like, oh gosh, is Zelda in the backyard? Has someone left the gate open? It was just so panicky. Is she in the fence? Now, the fence was the limit. The fence was the riverbank to the river. And in this case, it kept her from nipping my mailman or my neighbors. But it also gave us a feeling of rest, of, oh, okay, we can enjoy the dog while also knowing that she's behind the fence for when her protective instincts take over and she, you know, thinks the mailman is like a burglar or something like that. So when we don't have a limit, it's a lot like not having a fence. It's like not having a riverbank. And when we don't feel like we have a riverbank and we don't feel like we have a fence, we tend to feel a couple of things. We tend to feel chronically frightened and anxious because there's some part of us that feels like we're flooded, that feels overwhelmed, and that feels unprotected. It's like there's not something firm for us to lean back against and to lean into. There's not that kind of solidity to hold us. There's no container. That chronic sense of overwhelm, feeling flooded, feeling anxious, it's highly, highly uncomfortable. It's super painful. And that in itself, the anxiety and the flooding feeling, that can be enough to drive us towards food or drive us towards sugar to soothe those feelings of anxiety and overwhelm. So it sounds counterintuitive, but I'm going to invite you to experiment with opening to limits, to just play with them a bit, to see what does it feel like to actually sink fully into a limit and to allow it to hold me. So you can ask yourself, what is my relationship to limit? Do I allow limits to support me? And if I don't, what's there? What are the feelings that arise for me around limits? And be really, really gentle with what you find. For example, in my own life, I've had a lot of fears about loss. So saying no and having a riverbank, having some kind of limit or ending, it means facing that ending, which can feel like a loss to me. So there'd be this fear of loss, like I couldn't survive this loss, and that would keep me from setting a limit. It would keep me from fully resting in a limit. So that might be true for you. You might have noticed there's some tenderness around feelings of loss, or there might be something else that arises for you when you face a limit. And I invite you to open to this idea that limits are there to support you. They're there to help you. And to practice allowing yourself to lean back and surrender into the limit bank, to relax into its firmness, its solidity, its solidness, like the earth itself, like a tree, like the bark surrounding a tree, and allowing yourself to feel held and safe and protected by that limit. And for those feelings that arise, like for me, the grief that can arise or the fear that can arise around limits, bring tenderness to that. We don't have to make that wrong. And that's just something that it needs, it's asking for our love and our care. So the fact that limits might be hard for us or that we may have some mixed feelings around them, it's really okay. If limits are an area where you feel really triggered, what I found helpful is to start with something small. Start with something doable. So if sugar feels like a really, really big limit and lots of big feelings come around that limit itself, maybe it's, say, going to bed 30 minutes earlier if you notice that you have a tendency to stay up too late. So like I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, pick something that feels workable, like a level 4 or 5, and practice with that limit. What does it feel like to actually open to it and to receive and to surrender into the limit, into that form of love? And noting that you might be really surprised by what you discover and uncover about limits. They might be really different than what they've been in the past or what you've imagined them to be. So I look forward to hearing more about what you discover about limits and surrendering to limits. What do you uncover when you allow yourself to fully lean into them? What do you notice? What do you observe? And how does your relationship with limits start to change?